podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Aston Villa fans, and what's going on there? I'm cleaning that camera. Let's see if I can get that in focus. Anyway, David Ornstein has just dropped a bomb, along with Fabrizio Romano, saying that Aston Villa are in the process of negotiating or bidding or whatever you want to call it. They made an approach, I suppose is the easiest way to put it, for Middlesbrough player Morgan Rodgers. And it's an interesting one. I put out a tweet initially when I saw it, and I went, oh, he's the guy that stood out against Aston Villa. And then I went back and I watched the highlights, and I went, yeah, I'm after confusing him for that guy. There was another guy called Jones that played there as well. But Morgan Rodgers did play against Aston Villa. He was in the number 10 role. One thing I will say is he's the guy who lost Desiree Kanza at the corner when Kanza ghosted in, got the header, and it hit off the butt of the post. So I don't want to lead with that, but it's just one thing when I went back and I watched I wanted to watch the highlights of the game just to make sure I had the right player, and it turned out I didn't have the right player that played against us, but or that played well against us. But yeah, that was one piece that stood out. But I wanted to come on and chat about it because it's an interesting one. Once again, David Ornstein says straight out it's not a guarantee that he's going to sign for Aston Villa, but the negotiations are that approaches are happening for him at the minute. He's a player of extreme reputation within as a youth player. As a 16-year-old, he made his debut for West Brom. And then he went on, he was snapped up at Man City, and he went out on loan a couple of times. Villa were actually linked with him. When was it? I remember Villa were linked to him. I think it might have been that he might have been somebody that might have been coming along with the Jack Grealish transfer. Something springs out in my mind with regards to that. Unconfirmed, I must say. I don't have anything written down here to say that I've read that. It just sticks out in the back of my mind that Aston Villa, I think it was under Dean Smith, were looking at him or were looking to sign him. Coming from that West Brom academy, he's going to be well known to the likes of Mark Harrison and to our academy coaches, considering we poach anyone that shows any promise in the West Brom academy. So he's going to be well known to the players. And if Unai wants him, I think that this is something that the club will pursue. And as I say, Ornstein has said that they look to be pursuing this as well. We went to Manchester City in 2019, I think it was, and he stayed with them up until 2023. Last January transfer window, and then he moved to Middlesbrough. I think that's when he moved to Middlesbrough. Actually, it wasn't. I'm just reading here. It was the 7th of July. He moved to Middlesbrough. So he's only been there a short period of time, and he's already catching the eye of Mr. Unai Emery, it seems. So it's going to be it's an interesting one. As I say, he's somebody like at 16 years of age, he was dubbed the next big thing. There was articles all over the place calling him a wonder kid, and he was bought by Man City for $6 million from West Brom as a 16-year-old. That was 5 years ago. Dubbed the new Theo Walcott at the time. I love this, the tabloid newspapers when they splash that stuff around. And it was the biggest transfer fee for a 16-year-old actually since Arsenal spent $9 million on Theo Walcott that all those years ago. So that's probably where it came from. played for throughout the age groups for England, 15, 16, 17s, 18s, and 20s, scoring and playing numerous games for those age groups all the way along through his career. As at the England under 17s, scored 9 goals in 15 appearances. So he looked like he was the main man there. Let me bring up I have a slide sheet done in him, actually. I forgot to load it here. So give me a moment just while I load this and we'll take a look at him. He's somebody that after the Middlesbrough game, Middlesbrough had a front three of very, very young players. And I kept on referencing the whole way through. And it was Coburn. I did a small bit of research on. And this guy, Morgan Rogers, I'd done a bit of research on. And I'd actually filled out some stat sheets on them. So I'm going to share up with Morgan Rogers one there now in a moment. And we'll just take a look at him because he's very, very productive in a couple of areas that I think that Unai Emery is going to like. He's not the most prolific in front of goal. When he's like, he is a forward. He's going to be playing from wide areas. I would imagine he's going to play wide from that left. That's where he plays 9 times out of 10. That's where he plays with Middlesbrough. Against us, he played through the centre as a kind of a 10 in the 10 position. But I would think if he comes into this team, he's going to be somebody who's going to maybe play on that left-hand side. And the reason I think that, I'm going to talk to you about in a moment. So, Morgan Rogers, let's take a look at his slides. Conflicting heights for this player. 6'2.5" is what it says on Y Scout and on Football Ref. And then on his Wikipedia, they've inflated him to 6'4". So somewhere between 6'2.5" and 6'4". He's left-footed and he is 21 years of age. He won't be 22 until July. Looking at his heat map there, you can see that he's played all across that front three position. And we can see that he does come back and he does defend. You can see that there's quite a decent heat map there passed in his own area, his own half of the field as well, while also getting into the area as well for getting on the end of crosses and so on. Current value by Transfer Market is 2.8 million. It's impossible to know what championship players of good repute will cost any team. It will not be 2.8 million pounds that Aston Villa will have bid for him, I would imagine. It's going to be considerably higher than that. Obviously, I don't think there was any price listed by David Ornstein at any stage. But if a price does come out, obviously, I presume it would be somebody like Ornstein or Fabrizio Romano that will be the ones to break it soon as this, as we get through the transfer window. And maybe if this one does become a permanent transfer or a transfer that actually happens for Aston Villa. Looking at his statistics here, I suppose the biggest thing here, when you look at his attacking statistics, there's nothing to write home about. And I'd bear in mind, this is against out-and-out strikers at the moment. These are the statistics that he puts up. But bear in mind as well that he's played in that number 10 position. He's played wide from the left mostly. And a lot of these statistics are deflated due to the fact that he doesn't take an awful lot of shots on goal, and he's only scored 2 goals this season. When we look at his passing statistics, the picture paints a lot rosier. And we can see here that, with regards to pass completion, or pass attempts and pass completion, key passes, shot creating actions, and goal creating actions, he's in very, very good stead against other strikers in Europe. So he's got an eye for a pass, an eye for an assist, likes to set up goals, or that's what he's been doing over the last year anyway. And pass completion rate is slightly low at 66.8%. But I'm going to show you him in comparison to somebody else that we were linked with again. And once again, whenever we're linked with players, and I do think that we were linked with the last player, and I do think there is somebody that the club may have worked to get in, but they wanted to stay in Italy, and they wanted to go to Napoli, and looks like they're going to be going to Napoli now. And that's Cyril Ngonge. And we're going to show how the three of these players, Morgan Rogers, Ollie Watkins and Gunn, just kind of stack up against each other, and I will talk about that in a moment, because when we look at how Morgan looks in possession and out of possession here as well, with regards to his ball recoveries, his dribbles completed and the amount of touches he gets in comparison to other strikers, he's right up there. Like he's very, very active, very industrious, does an awful lot of work around the field, and you'd expect that from somebody who isn't an out-and-out striker, who plays from the left or plays in the 10 role as well. I mentioned that we take a look at him with regards to how he is, how he fares out in comparison to Cyril Ngange. We can see Ngange's statistics there in the, on the green line. For what he did well, Morgan Rogers statistically does those areas better, albeit he doesn't take as many shots as Ngange does, and also he hasn't scored as many goals. And as I said, Cyril Ngange is somebody who's on the way to Napoli for 20 million euros, I think it is, 18 plus, 18 in add-ons. So I've always said that Unai Emery is looking for a specific type of player, or he looks for types of players. And I don't think that's a mystery to anybody as well. And while this person isn't going to knock your socks off, like he's not, I'm not going to sit here and say, this guy's going to do it. He's going to push us over the top. And before you know it, that differential between Liverpool and ourselves is going to whittle down. We're going to surpass him and we're going to win the league by 7 points. Absolutely not. This is a project player who's making a leap up after only 6 months at Middlesbrough, and after only playing 60 games in the Championship. He's only started 27 games in the Championship, scoring 4 goals and having 6 assists. 5 of those assists coming this season as well. So, he is a project player. He will be somebody that will be brought in to be nurtured. The fact that he's only 21 won't be 22 until the end of the year. But what he gives us, I suppose, in situational aspects of maybe if he was to come on and get 20 minutes, half an hour in games, he gives us something different with regards to his dribbling ability, and also another piece that we're going to look at here in a moment. So I've kind of talked about him here as playing off the left, albeit I've been showing him here in comparison to out-and-out strikers, or an out-and-out striker with regards to Ollie Watkins, and where I thought that Cyril Ngange would come and would be if he was going to come to Aston Villa. But let's take a little look at him here in comparison to our wingers slash attacking midfielders, if you want to call them that. Because realistically, when we look at these guys, they're a different type of player than what Morgan Rogers is going to be. They're not as industrious in defence. They don't set up as many chances, but our attackers, the Bailey, Zaniolo and Diaby, take way more shots than this guy. They're a lot more attacking minded. They're a lot more selfish from the point of taking shots. And that's not to say that though, if Rodgers was to come into Aston Villa, that he wouldn't be encouraged to shoot a small little bit more. But what we can see here from his statistical output as a wide midfielder is an attacking midfielder here, should I say, his defensive output is really, really good. Tackles per 90, up in the top 89, or the top 11%. Dribblers tackled, up in the top 12%. Blocks made, up in the top 18%. Yes, he doesn't intercept the ball that much, but he tackles and he stops people from progressing the ball. Commits a few fouls. I'll never give out about people doing that as long as they're giving away in the right part of the pitch. So he's an interesting look at. And when you look at his shooting statistics here as well, they look an awful lot better in comparison to players that play in a similar position to him, as opposed to playing against strikers. So obviously a project player that if it is true that Unai Emery must have seen something from him at Middlesbrough. Obviously has the pedigree behind him of being a £6 million player at 16 years of age, moving to Manchester City, obviously getting the background of playing for the Manchester City Academy for 2 years from 2019 to 2021. They went on loan to Lincoln as a 19-year-old and scored 6 goals at that level. Was on loan at Bournemouth in the Championship, on loan at Blackpool as well, and now he's made the permanent transfer to Middlesbrough last year as well. So, yeah, as I say, he's an incredibly interesting player. It's an interesting link, should I say? It's not one that anybody would have projected. I'd imagine as well that, you know, the way that Unai Emery would be a hawk for watching video and doing video analysis and trying to break down another team and studying other teams. And we're fresh off the back of playing Middlesbrough. I would imagine that Unai Emery would have had a repository in the bank of an awful lot of teams in the Premier League from playing them last year and the players that they have. And I'm I would wager to say that he would have had to watch an awful lot more Middlesbrough tape to get a feel for how they played. Now, obviously, when we went out and played them, they were missing a lot of their players at the time. They had a team that was not fully stocked, but a team of young players. And I'd imagine he watched quite a lot of tape on Middlesbrough. And from that, this guy must have stood out. Then you go back and into your recruitment team, or your recruitment team probably had him on their radar as well. I'd imagine a lot of Premier League teams have some of those young Middlesbrough players on their radar, at least for checking out for their championship squads or championship scouts. Then you go back to your recruitment team and you talk to them and you say, yeah, this guy is really good. Part of that recruitment team is probably still here from the time that maybe Dean Smith, and I'm 99% certain it was when Dean Smith was our manager that we were looking at this guy when he was in the Man City Academy. I'm 99% certain that we were linked to this guy previously when he was about 18, 19. You go back there, you talk to them, they tell you all about his stellar underage career and what scouting they've done in him. And then you go and you talk to the academy team of Mark Harrison. They go, yeah, listen, we had him up until 2019 and he's an absolute pearl of a player. And I think that he could progress. And I think maybe they've said that they think that he can progress. So there's a lot of in-house conversations you can have to get a real feel for this guy. And also what I would say as well is, don't forget, Aaron Danks is also at Middlesbrough too. So while he's not going to be in the business of selling one of the Middlesbrough players, sorry, I completely forgot what club I was talking about there. While he's not going to be in the business of selling players for the club that he's with at the moment, they have an in there to talk to somebody who is utilizing that player at this very moment in time. So they could have a big dossier made on this player, I would imagine. And but the big thing about that, and all, you can speak to all the people in the world, if Mr. Unai Emery doesn't want him, then this transfer likely won't happen. So it's just been a bomb, I suppose, really. It's been dropped by Ornstein there earlier on. And I haven't checked any of the comments, and I probably should, because I'm wondering, is this one of these ones where I start doing the podcast about we've been linked to this person, like the Diego Carlos one, and then all of a sudden it's announced that he's signed for Aston Villa. There's been a here we go somewhere along the line. But checking the comments there, you guys... yeah, you guys didn't mention that as well. Looking at the comments there as well, Cash says, wasn't he supposed to be included? Yeah, I thought that too. I mentioned that at the start of the podcast. I'm 99% certain he was mentioned at some stage anyway with Aston Villa that we were interested in him. So that's interesting. Richie Ryan says, a player at this age is still learning his trade, and with the right manager and good players around him, he can only improve. 100% have to agree with that. And whether he will improve to the level that we need is yet to be seen. I'd be interested to see what the price would be, just from pig iron, I suppose, more so than anything else. If we are operating under financial fair play rules at the moment, which I'd imagine we are, because I'd imagine a lot of clubs in this transfer window are keeping their powder dry if they can't, considering what's been levied at Everton and at Nottingham Forest. But I'd be interested to see what the fee is if this is something that does get over the line. The reason that I'm interested in that is because I know we were very involved, or we were very interested in Cyril Ngonge from Verona, from Hellas Verona. And he decided to go to Napoli. But I'm wondering if we were getting up to that 20 million euros for him. I'm wondering if we were, and just for pig iron, I'd like to know what the transfer value is for this guy, just to see what we're operating with in January as well. Let's see, where else are we? So YouTube Premium Members is saying send Zaniolo back. I don't think this would affect Zaniolo's position with us at all. I think the only way we would send Zaniolo back is if we're loaning another player. I would like clarity on the compulsory purchase option for him, if there is any triggers with regards to that. But if they do send Zaniolo back, I would imagine we would bring another player in on loan. Because I do think the club wants to strengthen. I do think the club feels they need bodies. And not just bodies, but bodies who can contribute. That's why this player is specifically is interesting, because he would be coming into a team where he could get minutes, almost like John Duran did last year. He's a kind of, from Premier League point of view, we don't know how he would perform in the Premier League. And but there is a very high possibility he would get minutes from that left-hand side. Because we've seen that Unai Emery is reluctant to play Diaby on that left-hand side. He played Bailey on the left-hand side once or twice this year, and I've thought there have been some brilliant performances from Bailey on the left-hand side. But he prefers him from the right, and that's absolutely fine. I can completely understand that. But you have a Jacob Ramsey, you have Zaniolo, you have... he's played McGinn out there. And obviously, I don't think any of us want to see McGinn out on the left. I think we want to see McGinn in central midfield. But there will be potential for this guy to maybe get minutes if this to get over the line down the stretch of the season as well. So it's an interesting one. And LG says, a strange one that Philogene has done more than him in the championship, also being linked with Giovanni Reyna from Dortmund. I'll just give it a couple of minutes on Reyna in a moment. But I don't think this is a strange one, because that buyback clause on Philogene, we don't know how long that lasts for. We don't know what it is. And I think from a purely financial point of view, like if that was 15 million buyback clause and we can end up buying this guy for 7 million, I think it just makes sense, from a financial point of view. But once again, I'm not going to get drawn into financial fair play because I don't have any of the figures. And it's all speculation and conjecture from that point of view. But once again, the option to bring Philogene Bidace back isn't dead just because we would sign this player. Now, on the Giovanni Reyna piece, supremely talented player, really, really talented player. And that's where I think we would probably look to on loan, if that could be done, if Zaniolo was to leave. And it would be... an interesting move, should I say. He's performed very well for Dortmund. I think he scored like 7 goals or 8 goals last season for them. I just want his mother and father to not get involved in anything, and they won't, because they won't have the direct lines. But, you know, there's the story with their meddling in his career since 2016 all the way up through the US men's national team piece is wild, to be honest with you. Some of the phone calls that they both parents put into the men's national team there with regards to that. So yeah, look, supremely talented player, but leave the off-field stuff away. And I'm sure that everybody in that story has learned from that situation, because nobody came out of it looking good. And the player was ultimately the person that suffered for it was Gio Reyna, because he didn't get the opportunities to play at the 2022 World Cup. And all because of because of conversations that were being had by other people and completely out of the player's control. So, a talented player, and we'd be interested if there is something in that link. We'd be interested if there was something in that link as well. British Mick says, loving the recruitment, Neil, building for the future via youth and prospects. Loving the Nedeljkovic acquisition too, and to loan him to his parent club to retain him now was a masterstroke. I would imagine a lot of that loaning him to his parent club as well might also be something to do with deferring payments as well into next year from a financial fair play point of view. If there is something in the financial fair play talk, it's smart to do it. Also keeping him at a place whereby they can they know that his development will be taken care of, and he'll be playing at a pretty high level, in the Serbian Premier League as well. So interesting from that point of view. Just going to move down through here. What's that? Middlesbrough, not Neil, not Middlesbrough. Am I pronouncing Middlesbrough wrong? Oh, maybe I've spelt it incorrectly somewhere. See, I say this every single time. I need a producer. I need a graphic designer. I need something. I've got fat fingers and I've got eyes that can't read. So unfortunately, I can't spell things correctly. So you guys will give me some slack on that one. But yeah, I should really just copy and paste stuff, shouldn't I? But I don't like copy and pasting stuff because it takes the creativity out of it. I should have just put B-O-R-O and then apostrophe, and then I wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in, for sure. Where else are we? I'm going to scroll down here as well. John Steele says he's bought a ticket for the meeting with God, and ironically, as an atheist, he can't wait to hear the word of God. Yes, there are still some tickets for our event on the 3rd of February in Limerick, here in Ireland, with the great man Paul McGrath himself. There are a ball of tickets sold, and I'm absolutely overwhelmed with that. It's incredible how many tickets. We're over 200 tickets have been sold, to be honest with you, and we've put on some more tickets for sale. And I completely understand that, you know, we're in the middle of January. A lot of people might be waiting for the longest month of the year to finish before the next payday and stuff like that. It just blows my mind what great reception this has had. Might be Paul McGrath's only podcast appearance, I'd say, this in the whole of 2024. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. I really, really am. That's just a little aside there. And thanks very much, John, for coming to see us. Where else are we? It's coming down. Michael Taylor. Michael, are you a Middlesbrough fan? He says he's more than happy to see Rodgers go for 10 million. Been linked heavily with United's Diallo. If you sign one of our players, it's Hayden Hackney. We were actually linked with Hayden Hackney as well. Fine player too. Fine player. And I must say he's somebody I think that will be on a lot of players' radars, as will be a lot of your youth players or your younger players within that squad. And Michael Carrick has amassed a pretty decent squad there, and fair play to him. Just going to scroll down here, see any more comments. Michael Brosnan asking how many tickets are sold. I think I covered that one. Sarko says this signing at its position may be a result of Ramsey doing his hamstring. I didn't hear that. Did Ramsey do his hamstring? Pop it in the comments there, everyone. Did he? Was that confirmed? I know he didn't play the last game, but I didn't know that it was a really bad injury that would keep him out. I would imagine that we just need another player to play on the left. I would imagine this would free Zaniolo maybe to go up top. I'm convinced Unai Emery wants to play him as a striker at some stage, or a second striker. I don't know what makes me think that, but it's an interesting one. Sarko's saying he was scanned earlier in the week. Okay, one to keep an eye on for sure. Interesting player. I'm not going to say that I don't think he's a player that's going to reel in Liverpool at the top of the league for us, but it's an interesting link. All the talent in the world based on what he's done in his youth career. First big step up into the champ. Well, I won't say his first big step up because he played 60 games, started 27. He's obviously a project player, and he's coming into, he's playing in a team at the moment, as I mentioned, that is being coached by Aaron Danks. I would imagine that there are conversations somewhere along those lines to figure out what this guy is like. I put out a tweet earlier on saying that obviously he played against us in the cup. I don't think that had any bearing on this, but I would imagine that there's a pretty big dossier based on Mark Harrison's time at West Brom as well. And as I say, the amount of video work that Unai Emery does on opposing players and opposing teams. So let's see if this one pans out. If it does, we'll be back with more on it. It's only just broken recently. I just had those stats sheets done. So I said I might as well pop on and do this, but we'll see. All's yet to be written with this one, and it's definitely a player for the future, and somebody that we hope can grow within the club into the Premier League and onwards and is another body, I think, to play on that left-hand side, and another good one. It's got a very good defensive output and a very good creative output out there, albeit the goals haven't come for him that frequently for Middlesbrough this year. But anyway, go leave it at that, guys. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for listening. If there's any of you looking for tickets, as I say, tickets are still on sale. There's a link in the description here for tickets to our podcast with Paul McGrath, the great man himself, the namesake of this podcast. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. In the meantime, everybody, stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.